News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, March 22, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, the debate is continuing on when Japan might reopen its border to U.S. beef. We'll have the latest. Also, USDA says be prepared for changes in the next farm bill that will create winners and losers. And Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley says while the Doha round still has a pulse, it's definitely on the respirator. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And Drew Lerner will catch us up on ag weather. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City May wheat, 422 up 7 3/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat 347 up 4 1/4. July 360 up 4. May corn 236 and a quarter up 1 3/4. July 247 and a half up 2. September 256 and 3/4 up 2. December 268 up 1 1/2. May beans 561 and a half up 2 3/4. July 576 up 3. August 579 and a half up 1 1/4. November 591 and 3/4 up 1 3/4. May soybean meal 172.30 up 1.30. May soybean oil 23.37 down 7. At the Merck, April feeders 102 and a half up 82 and a half. April live cattle 78.90 up 57 and a half. April lean hogs 55.65 down 65. Joining us on the telephone now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, it looks like, generally speaking, it was a consolidation type of trade.
As far as the corn and beans go, yeah, we saw some stabilization. The short-term RSI levels were oversold there. In fact, beans went to new four-month lows and saw a little bit of buying interest. Overall volume was relatively light. Priced in the USDA numbers from last Friday there, and I think the market's sort of sitting back and looking for some new direction, whether it would be export demand-led or whether it be weather-led either way. We'll see. Tomorrow morning's weekly export sales report is expected to show wheat sales anywhere from 200 to 450,000 tons, corn 700 to 1 million metric tons, beans 200 to 350,000. Thousand tons. So that might be the next market maker as we open up during the day trade tomorrow.
As you alluded to by talking about corn and soybeans first, it was wheat that was the leader to the top side today, and it bumped right up against an area resistance, and I'm looking at Kansas City on the May chart right around that 422 level.
Yeah, the market is going to be quite sensitive in the Kansas City futures. We left some gaps on the way down here, but we've on the weekly scale, we were able to sort of reverse out the hole here, so traders will probably try to add to their long positions. They've been long Kansas City, short Chicago, so technically we've got room to run the KC wheat another 8 to 10 cents here over the near term. With the break in there, there was some talk of maybe some export business picking up. Exports have been quiet. And so with that break in there, I thought maybe we'd stimulate a little bit of export business. And also, too, the weather maps had some moisture in the forecast for those southern plains. Midday maps pushed it a little further north. So the far western belt still in dire need of some moisture to this date.
You mentioned some wheat spreading. Are we also seeing some corn wheat spreading as well?
Oh, we're seeing all kinds of spreading, however you want to look at it. We saw wheat bean spread, wheat corn spread, but we saw a variety of activity in through here. As main thing is, these guys are sort of getting positioned here because weather is going to be the dominant factor here as we get more into May and June.
What do you make of the fact that these beans finally seem to have moved a little sideways after reaching four-month lows yesterday and a 30¾-cent drop in the last three sessions?
Well, it sort of falls in line with what the fundamentals have been telling us. Record world bean ending stocks, ample stocks domestically, and potential of some bigger stocks here if we have some favorable weather here. This summer. Longer term, we're going to see this bean market drop probably in the $4 area if we have favorable weather and don't see this demand pick up. The problem we've had is the market makers, per se, came in every day during the winter and sold the beans, and by the end of the day, they had to buy them out because they could not get them to go down. So the seller's still shy of taking an aggressive short position here until we get more of a solid conviction to the downside, because what's been happening is these index funds have been coming in and buying, and that's been keeping the bear in an uncomfortable position, per se. Oftentimes here over the last 2 months at least, or 3 months, the index funds have been coming in the first, second week of the month to be a buyer, and so I think that sort of put the brakes on here now. We're in the first week of April, maybe see if they come in and buy or not. And secondly, what gave the market a little bit of support, the Brazilian government came in and lowered its forecast of the Brazilian crop by about 2 million metric tons, and some other agencies have lowered their production number a little bit. But 1 to 2 million metric tons is just sort of a drop in the bucket compared to the overall ample world supplies we have.
You mentioned that beans could drop on favorable growing conditions, favorable weather, but I want to be sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying favorable growing conditions during the growing season, not necessarily during planting season, right?
Well, yeah, we'll try to get it too wet so they won't get planted, or else we'll be too dry or too wet at some point in time. But long term, if there's no real weather concerns, and we have trend line yields and keep demand the same, you can have a 2006-2007 bean care estimate as high as 800 million bushels, per se. And if we would happen to come in and produce record yields or better than expected yields, you can see bean care out swell to 1 billion bushels. So it's in the hands of the weatherman right now. If you vary the supply-demand balance sheet, looking at the production number, as in yield by 5 bushels the acre, that shifts it quite a bit. And corn particularly, too, if you shift that supply-demand balance sheet, looking at the yield by 10, 15 bushels, it can change the bottom line quite rapidly, more than what the acre shift will.
Wanted to talk about corn. December corn tried to fill that little gap left over 30 March, 31 March again today. Of course, contract high at 270. You mentioned the weather. If we don't get any planting delays, can December corn go above 270?
The technicians or the funds will probably try to push it much above there. The trend is up, and you're correct. We left a gap on the day charts from the report there last Friday, and we did try to go back into that gap area and found support and came back out of it. So the trend is up, and the technicians will support the position. The funds are long the market. The green line is above the red line, which means buy. And so technically speaking, the trend is up and can try to push higher. But however that being said, as a producer, long-term fundamentalist, I think you got to use this strength up in this 270, 275 area to get another increment sold.
I want to go back to the soybeans just for a second and ask you, why are commercial accounts building this long position?
Well, that's a good point, good observation. And the meeting we were at last night, and I think Darrell Good sort of hit the nail on the head in there. We're still seeing these index funds, these buy and hold accounts being classified as commercials, And so, therefore, as the funds continue to buy, that could represent the index funds position as being long. So until they bust the index funds out of the commercial accounts, it's going to be awful hard to get a real true reading on who's doing what.
Kurt, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, enjoyed it. Had some awful big shoes to fill here for Paul, but enjoyed it there.
Thank you much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Taking a look at Mike Sola's two-state forecast tonight in Illinois, becoming mostly cloudy with showers and a few thunderstorms developing from southwest to northeast. In Indiana, partly cloudy, lows ranging from 36 to 55 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Some storms may be strong to severe, especially during the afternoon. Highs ranging from 54 degrees near Lake Michigan to 75 degrees in southwestern Illinois. In agricultural news, the Senate Agriculture Appropriations Committee Tuesday added a $4 billion agriculture disaster package to a supplemental appropriations bill. The funds would provide assistance for crop production and quality losses, as well as helping livestock producers. It would also provide economic assistance to producers affected by escalating energy-related input costs. Most of the money in the supplemental bill would pay for Hurricane Katrina relief and Iraqi war costs. Meanwhile, House Majority Leader John Boehner says the House will adopt its budget resolution before representatives leave this week. That does not mean it won't be a battle. In fact, according to Congressional Quarterly, Boehner has said this is one of the toughest weeks he's had since becoming majority leader. Boehner, along with other GOP leaders, will be looking for a compromise between moderates demanding more domestic spending and conservatives pressing a slate of budget enforcement rules. That, Boehner says, is going to be a tough sell. U.S. market analyst and rating agency Standard & Poor's says it now expects Japan to keep its import ban on U.S. beef at least until late this year or possibly early 2007. The S&P made its forecast yesterday. U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns responded immediately, saying there's no scientific reason for such a lengthy delay and that the U.S. Congress might not stand for it. And Johanns says the U.S. beef industry is ready to export product to Japan right now.
I can tell you what a doable schedule is from our vantage point. We are really ready now. We have indicated our flexibility. We'll work with Japan on whatever their requirements are. We'll put those in place. I'm confident that the industry is ready. And when I say now, I'm very confident in telling you that if Japan were to say if our requirements can be met in the next 30 days, we'll be ready. My response to that would be we'll be ready.
Johanns continues to stress the U.S. is complying with international standards when it comes to Japanese beef, despite two dozen cases of BSE in Japan. And Johanns literally is promising the U.S. will not close its borders to Japanese beef as long as it complies with those international standards.
We've done a risk analysis. We've looked at all of the factors, and that risk analysis says that we can import Japanese beef. You have my promise. I'll live by international standards. That's how you treat people in international trade.
Japan closed its market to U.S. beef on January 20th, just weeks after ending a previous ban that lasted 2 years. Cattle farmers in Iowa have fallen short on promises to install manure control facilities during a 5-year amnesty program. State regulators say as many as 25% of the 150 or so feedlots large enough to need federal permits have yet to comply. Dozens of the larger feedlots could face state and federal punishment, including fines up to $32,500 a day. The Bush administration continues to drop hints about what it would like to see in the 2007 Farm Bill. Yesterday, USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins offered some new insight before the Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee. Collins says last year's Farm Bill listening forums showed many rural Americans and ag groups as well believe the current level of spending on commodity programs is unsustainable.
25% of net farm income or net cash income going to government payments. You know, this year it's going to be about 30% in 2006. That's roughly $20 billion the last couple of years. And people are saying, well, $20 billion a year is a lot of money.
And Collins offered suggestions on how Congress might reallocate resources in the 2007 Farm Bill.
Promoting niche opportunities for small producers in rural America. You know, maybe more could be done there. People want to do more in energy. We had an energy title in the last Farm Bill. Very little money went into that energy title. Maybe money's not the answer for energy, but that's something to think about.
Programs that exist now, such as expanded conservation programs or other programs yet to be designed in the 2007 Farm Bill.
Collins admitted his suggestions could take a bite out of direct payments. Collins again made the point that most farm program payments today go to a small set of ag producers growing corn, cotton, rice, wheat, and soybeans. And he also said the value of U.S. fruit and vegetable production now equals the so-called program crops. Those facts, Collins said, means there's no question the 2007 Farm Bill will create winners and losers in U.S. agriculture.
You could already argue that there's some relative disadvantage in place right now with the current structure. So if you start to reapportion things, change things around, it's true that some farmers would stand to lose. Other farmers would stand to gain. So I don't think you can't conclude that automatically that every producer is going to lose. They're not. There's going to be a distribution of losers and of gainers. And always part of the dilemma in changing farm policy is how to deal with anybody that is perceived as a loser.
Collins says there may be new ways to transition from one farm bill structure to another and, in his words, minimize the losers. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley says he is not prepared to go quite as far as House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Bill Thomas, who says the Doha round is dead. But Grassley cautioned yesterday that time is running out for negotiators to reach a compromise on agricultural tariffs and subsidies.
I wouldn't call it quits until it's quits, you know. And I suppose you could say that's December 31st. But as a practical matter, if there's not major breakthroughs in April, then December 31st doesn't matter. In regard to proceeding with bilateral agreements, we're doing that anyway.
At his weekly press conference, Grassley also reiterated his point that USDA is not providing leadership on development of a national animal ID system. And the European Commission Tuesday asked Switzerland's Syngenta AG for reassurances on its detection method for genetically modified BT10 maize. The Commission said it has sent a letter to the company after concerns were expressed by the EU's GMO laboratory that it could not exclude the possibility that some tests for the presence of the modified maize had shown false negative results. Insect-resistant BT10 maize is now authorized for use in the EU. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Dave.
I bet you a nickel that the last 48 hours have been very quiet at your place.
Well, you would definitely win because Friday was, boy, was it ever active around here with that the shock of the acreage report. The farmers, they sold a lot of corn that day, and since the market backed off a little bit, you better believe it, it's been pretty quiet around here.
Define a lot of corn for Terre Haute grain.
Pardon?
Define a lot of corn for Terre Haute grain.
Right, yes.
How much would that be?
How much have we bought, you mean?
Yeah.
Well,
on that one day.
On that one day, we bought a couple hundred thousand here at this elevator, and the majority of it was for nearby, but they came and they booked some new crop in some January, and I think right now they're satisfied with it. I think the market's overbought. We're due for a correction here, but for right now, I think they're going to concentrate on planting, and I think they've got their cash needs pretty satisfied for now.
Didn't see one tractor in a 150-mile drive out to Wolcott, Indiana, yesterday for an agricultural outlook meeting. So I guess what you're saying is mentally, at least, they're on the tractor.
Mentally, they are. And, you know, we really need some warm weather. The ground's cold and we're wet. But, you know, the trade's not even thinking about planting delays at this time. I think it's in the back of their minds, but it's a little bit too soon to trade that. But, yeah, we had a lot more planted in April last year than we're going to have this year because it's just not conducive yet.
What are farmers saying about how soybeans have fallen so dramatically on the board in the last three sessions before today at least went sideways a bit?
There's a lot of lamenting out there that they hadn't sold more. We've got record on-farm bean inventories ever from what I'm able to read, and I can't dispute that. There's a lot of beans in bins out there. Some farmers haven't sold any of their 05 crop yet, and the basis levels could get really sloppy, and that's just going to make the situation worse when they finally get ready to move them to town. So it's not a good situation in beans. There's no doubt about it.
About how much of this bean crop is still hedged to arrive, say, in July?
Well, we don't have any to arrives this summer at all. Very, very little. The farmers just sell hand-to-mouth around here. There really wasn't a lot of carry in the market. Just the board, the basis levels are not that good out there. So we don't have a lot on. So they're just going to have to play it by the seat of their pants around here.
And in terms of new cash sales in corn and beans, how are producers doing?
Excellent. We are way over 200% higher booked as far as new crop sales compared to last year. So they kind of missed the boat last year. They've been very diligent with it, and they may have started a little bit too early as far as corn is concerned. Only time will be the answer to that. But, yes, they have really been very diligent in booking forward booking corn and beans, both when the prices were up there.
Are you of a mindset that in December corn we won't see anything higher than 270 if there are no planting delays?
No, I don't advocate that. I think we will at some time. I certainly do. I think there will be a reason to get over that because, you know, with an 11-plus billion demand base next year, we got to have a crop. And now there's no doubt these acreage numbers will go up, but I think we'll trade over 270. I sure do.
I wonder how sloppy this might get come July.
Now, we're talking beans.
We're talking beans.
Real sloppy. With so much inventory out there, the bird flu situation, which just continues to worsen every day, there is no doubt that these basis levels will probably not improve but deteriorate clear into the summer.
And corn basis, will it also deteriorate some?
You know, really, the farmers have sold a lot of corn. It's going to be interesting to find out in August exactly how much they've sold because they have really taken advantage of these prices. Even with a big crop, we could run short of corn. So you've got to be a little bit friendly to the basis later on, and it's held up very well. Really, as with farmers selling the way it was Friday, the corn basis has held up well, so demand is hanging in there, there's no doubt.
And what about your prices today?
Our cash corn today is 218, cash beans 539, and new crop wheat today is 320.
Thanks much, Kay.
Thank you, Dave.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. And in about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Appellate Justice Ann Burke has been picked to replace retiring Illinois Supreme Court Justice Mary Ann McMorrow. McMorrow today announced her plans to retire after what she calls 30 grand and glorious years as a judge. A parking garage in downtown Danville remains closed after the collapse of a stairwell that killed a man this morning. Danville police spokesman Larry Thomason says a 36-year-old four-level garage will stay closed until structural engineers finish their safety examination. The identity of the man who was killed won't be released until tomorrow morning. The director of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is giving assurances that the health clinic at Urbana High School will return to full strength. The clinic's part-time director resigned earlier this year, and the Francis Nelson Health Center has been helping to keep the facility going. But Public Health District Director Vito Palazzolo said on AM 580's Afternoon Magazine that they plan to hire a full-time director for the high school clinic as well as a receptionist and expand clinic hours to 5 days a week. Illinois Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky's husband has been ordered to report to federal prison by June 6th to begin serving a five-month sentence. Robert Kramer was sentenced today for writing rubber checks and failing to pay withholding taxes. State Senator James Meek says Illinois needs 2,000 more state workers for prisons and child care. Meek, a potential candidate for governor, met with union representatives today before telling reporters that the needed workers would cost $50 million. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you today?
I am doing well. It looks to me like storms on the way from the Midwest.
Yeah, a little bit of a familiar song, just a different verse coming up. It looks like showers and thunderstorms will begin to work their way across the region tonight. This will actually start in western portions of the Corn Belt. There actually may be a few thunderstorms that pop up during the day tomorrow on the east side of the Mississippi River. We'll find those storms becoming a little bit better organized as we move further out in time. The most generalized rain for the east half of the Midwest will probably occur Thursday into Friday, and we'll probably end up seeing 0.3 to 1 inch to an inch of rain commonly across the region, probably look for some local amounts up to maybe as much as 1.5 inches. The storm will have a lot of wind with it again, so we'll be looking for that as a feature to deal with, and looks like there will be some cooler air that will come in behind the event as well.
With the intensity of the rainfall, how much might we expect to actually be soaked into the ground as opposed to going into the tiles?
Yes, I would imagine right now with the ground being as moist as it is that most of it will go and run off. So we will have a great amount of moisture that will end up running off into rivers and streams. We probably will not encounter another round of significant flooding necessarily, because I think this particular storm system is going to be set up in a manner that will not favor generalized soaking rains. We'll see localized heavy rains associated with some strong thunderstorms, but we're not going to see the widespread 1 to 2 inch rains that we've seen in the past with some of these other storms the past couple of weeks.
And then a temperature warm up?
Well, we'll try that, but we'll have to go through a little period of cooler weather first, and that will occur during the course of the weekend. Next week's temperatures will turn warmer, and it will be a very pleasant week next week in the east half of the Midwest for sure. I think the Ohio River Basin may go through a big part of the week next week without any precipitation. We'll pick up a few showers perhaps on Tuesday into Wednesday of next week. They'll be brief and light, and our temperatures before that will probably be pretty solidly in the 70s. And we'll cool down maybe to some 60s and go back into the 70s again by the time we get into the holiday weekend. So I think we'll see a little bit better drying conditions coming up next week for at least the Ohio River Basin. And some other areas will see similar conditions, but they are going to have a longer period of drying before they'll be able to get out and be able to work in some of these fields.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have yourself a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
And that's today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 Central Time for our first look at the markets. This is Dave Dickey.